Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this glorious edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I'm Pod Vader. It is Friday. It is Fantasy Friday. And it is glorious because the New England Patriots just do what they do best. And that's do their job and win. That's all they do. They go out and win. My team's better than yours. Sorry, I had to say it. We'll get to that in just a moment, but it is a Fantasy Friday. That means coming up in just a few moments, you're going to hear our Giants superfan Sam and our Bills superfan Rob talking about some of the daily fantasy plays that they're going to be making this weekend, and you may or may not want to follow some of their advice. Right now, I think you want to give it a listen, gather a little bit more information as you head into the weekend, and see what you got going for you. Let's talk a little bit about that Thursday night game, shall we? It was pretty much of a surprise, I think, to pretty much everyone, including myself. I certainly did not see that coming. I thought the Patriots had a chance to win. They were going to have to play a close defensive battle. And boy, did the defense bring it. Here's the thing that I forgot about when I said this in yesterday's it was Wednesday's podcast at this point. There, I had said that the Texans, if there is a team that knows the Patriots really well, it would be the Texans. I mean, half of that coaching staff, I think it's even more than half the coaching staff, are all former Patriots. What I failed to realize and extrapolate is that the inverse is also true. If there's a team that knows the Texans, it would be the Patriots. So the Texans are a good team. They're up and coming, but they are not a Jedi yet. And the master remains the master. I mean, absolutely brilliant. Jacoby Brissett really didn't do anything spectacular in that game besides that rollout quarterback keep on the bootleg. That's something that you're not going to see Tom Brady do. That's not something you're going to see Jimmy Garoppolo do. They played around a little bit with the triple option, but Brissett never pitched the ball. He didn't pitch it once. And so I think that was interesting game planning there by the Patriots. That's what they do. They're going to show you one thing and they're going to do the exact opposite. They're going to do exactly what you don't think they're going to do. When you think they're zigging, they're zagging. So Patriots win 27-0. Didn't hear J.J. Watt's name during the entire game. DeAndre Hopkins, he had his catches, but really wasn't much of anything. I mean, the Texans didn't make it across the 50-yard line until there was a minute 26 left in the third period. That is defense, friends. That is incredible. And I mean, you can't say enough about turnovers. Plus three in the turnover margin. It's unbelievable. I love the stat. The Patriots are now 77-0 since the Belichick era began in New England. If they have the lead at home in Foxborough, that is unbelievable. If they have the lead at halftime at home, 77-0. Here's the one thing that's a little disappointing, frankly. They mentioned that Belichick is now tied Curly Lambeau. But if you look at the chart, he has to go probably 10 more seasons to catch Don Shula. I'm not sure Belichick's got 10 more seasons in him. I certainly hope he does. And by the way, that's giving him the benefit of the doubt of having a 10-win season. I know that's like rolling out of bed for the New England Patriots these past recent years, but eventually that winning percentage is going to drop. I mean, we know what goes up must come down. So it's coming, and we'll be prepared. At least I will be, because that's what I do. All right. Hey, I'm also now 0-3 on Thursday games. So you may not want to follow my advice when it comes to placing your wagers on a Thursday night game. I've also missed quite a few of my upsets. I can't remember the last time I hit an upset. This week, as you heard on our Sunday game preview, which was released yesterday on Thursday, I like the Bears Right now, according to BetDSI.com, and that's our sponsor, by the way, the line is now up to 7. The Dallas Cowboys minus 7. I've picked the Bears to win straight up, but I definitely love the Bears getting 7 points. I don't think I think that point spread's a little off. So I'm taking the Bears as my upset special. And if you want to live dangerously along with me, go over to BetDSI.com right now. Sign up. You get 100% bonus on your first deposit. Plus, if you use our promo code FANUP10, you get a free 10 bucks just to try out the service. So use our promo code FANUP10. Hey, BetDSI.com is a top-rated business. They're safe. They have great customer service. Real easy to use. They have fast payment of all your winnings, hundreds of different NFL wagers. I'm on the site right now. I'm looking at some of the lines right now. You can obviously play some of the over-unders. It's quite a fun time. So you're going to want to go check out BetDSI.com. Use our promo code FANUP10 to get that free 10 bucks. And hey, have some fun. Gamble responsibly, though. All right, speaking of you know, maybe making a little money while enjoying your favorite sport, let's talk a little bit of the daily fantasy game, and I'm going to hand it over now to our Giants super fan, Sam.
And we're back with week 3 of the Next Man Up Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by our Bills super fan, Robert. How's it going today, Robert?
It's going well. Looking forward to this weekend's action. Not going to be taking any Buffalo Bills in any of my daily fantasy teams, and hopefully that means I'll make some money.
Yeah, I mean, I went with my favorite team last week, the Giants, and that didn't turn out so well for my daily fantasy. At least they won, so you know, it's not so bad. But let's jump right in this week. And, you know, there's been a couple of high-profile injuries this past week. Doug Martin, Adrian Peterson both out this week off the top of my head. And in daily fantasy, injuries can mean opportunity. So what are you looking at this week in terms of star players who might be out and their replacements?
When this time of year, when these things start to happen, they're going to happen every year, obviously. This is when you know, a little bit of that extra homework can pay off. I think the big one this week, the most high-profile injury is going to be the Adrian Peterson injury. So I think you're going to see a lot of people going and looking towards playing Jerick McKinnon. You know, obviously he's going to be priced pretty low. I'm looking that up right now. I mean, $5,300 and you're going to pay for someone that's going to start. And probably, I mean, there's also Matt Asiata there as well. McKinnon's probably going to get most of the playing time. I would say probably like a 70-30 split. So you're getting good value for Jerick McKinnon. My only concern with that one is I think that Asiata is going to be the goal line vulture like he was in, I believe it was 2014 when Adrian Peterson didn't play all year long. Asiata actually had 10 touchdowns that year. With McKinnon getting a good amount of action, you know, kind of in between, you know, from the 20 to the 20. But once it got in that red zone, Asiata played a little bit more. So I'm a little worried about that one, but it's a good play because the value is so cheap and you're not going to be able to play $9,000 guys at every spot. The one I do like quite a bit is Charles Sims. Charles Sims is going to be the lead horse now in Tampa, and he catches the ball out of the backfield. You can get him for $6,300, which also is the same price as Spencer Ware, another guy who kind of fits into this profile, getting opportunities when they typically wouldn't. There'd be something standing in their way. I'm a big Sims believer. I think he's a very talented back. I think that he has a higher ceiling than any of these guys.
I was definitely looking at Sims. I think if you're playing regular fantasy, he's a guy to go get because I think in 3 weeks, the starting running back job is going to be his. He's really dynamic at the backfield and the passing game also. So he's going to touch the ball a lot. And if he's as good as people are saying and from what I'm seeing, then I think Doug Martin's touches are going to go down at the back end of the season. One running back that you didn't mention that I'm actually playing this week is Theo Riddick. Mirdula's out, so he's going to get a few more touches, and he's also really good in the red zone in the passing game. He's involved all over the field, and if he can get an extra 8-9 touches a game, he goes from a fringe RB2 to a lower-end RB1. So I'm keeping an eye out on him. They're playing the Packers, and Detroit's defense isn't great. You know, this feels like one of those Packer games where everybody's criticizing them, and they come out and they put up 35 points. And then Detroit's going to be throwing all game, and Riddick will be the beneficiary of some soft coverage is the way I'm kind of envisioning it. And so he's somebody I like. And another one who, you know, a player who's a star player but's benefiting from an injury, I think, is Jarvis Landry this week. The Dolphins are playing the Browns, so, you know, Dolphins are cheap, good plays. But with Arian Foster out, J.J. is looking terrible. I think they're going to put the ball in Tannehill's hands, and I think Landry's going to be a real big beneficiary of that. So those are two guys that are sticking out in my mind. I still won't play Jarvis Landry because I really hate Ryan Tannehill. But I think all signs are pointing to him to getting another 4 or 5 catches a game. So he's definitely somebody that's interesting.
Yeah, I like the Theo Riddick pick. He's probably one of the three best people as far as running backs catching the ball out of the backfield. In FanDuel, I talk about that more because I use that. There is a difference between FanDuel and DraftKings in that in FanDuel you're getting half a point per reception. Theo Riddick, a little bit of a better play in DraftKings, you're getting a full point per reception. Just a little bit of a different scoring format, but I didn't really think too much on that one, but that's a good call.
Yeah, I started him by mistake my first week in one of my fantasy leagues, and it paid off. So, I'm all in on Theo Riddick this week. But let's get started to our picks for this week. I joined you in a 50-50. That's what I'm going to be playing this week. And For QB, we talk about injury replacement. For QBs, I never go with injury replacement. It might be really cheap, but you need your QB to give you points. Whoever's coming in and playing QB for the Browns, I think it's Cody Kessler, or the Bears, whoever's backing up Jay Cutler. I would stay away from them. You know, they may be cheap, they may be tempting, that you can start stacking really, really good players at other positions. I think quarterback is one where you should go with somebody who you know is going to get you that 18 to 24 points with that high ceiling. And that's why this week I'm picking Ben Roethlisberger going against the Philadelphia Eagles. He has Antonio Brown. He's going to have a good game. He's had two great games. That's who I'm going with at quarterback. Who are you thinking this week?
This week I have a similar philosophy. I tend to, all things being equal, I will put my money first in the quarterback position because I just think it's the safest position. As far as I'm always trying to get, you know, two times whatever thousand I put in. So I, you know, putting in $9,000 on Drew Brees, I think he can hit 18 points this week. They're playing Atlanta. The most important thing for Drew Brees is he's playing at home. Not that he's a bad quarterback on the road, but he does seem to light it up just a little bit more at home. They're playing an Atlanta defense that I think they should be able to handle. I think the ceiling is very high. I think the floor is fairly high. And I think Drew Brees, a nice, safe, solid play for 9,000 should get you, you know, in that 20-point area to kind of start you off for a good week.
Yeah, that makes sense. I took Drew Brees last week. Obviously, that didn't work out so well. But good luck. I mean, at home, he's a different quarterback, so that there's always that. At running back, I'm playing who I think is the best running back in football. I'm sorry to do this to you, Robert, but I am playing David Johnson.
I kind of agree.
After seeing what Matt Forte did last week, David Johnson should have approximately 1,000 points this week. So I think that's a no-brainer for me. And then, like I said earlier, I'm going with Theo Riddick. I think he's going to touch the ball a ton. He's only 6,400. I think he at least gets 2x his points with might get 5x. He might get 20 points, 24 points. I think he's going to touch the ball a lot. So I go with David Johnson, Theo Riddick. Who are you? I don't know if you play guys playing against Buffalo, but who are you picking this week?
Oh, I don't care. We've already fired our offensive coordinator, so all bets are off this year. And when I'm gambling, I try not to put my heart too much into it. Actually, I had David Johnson on my list. So I will go with another back who I think is going to put up a lot of points, and it's the running back from the that's in the game of the quarterback that you took. I like D'Angelo Williams this week. There's a big price tag on him because people have been playing him, but the running back in that offense – is going to put up points just the way it's done. He can catch the ball. They're going to be running. I have a feeling they're going to go up big, which means that, you know, they're going to let him put the hammer down. I think he gets in the end zone. Philadelphia's defense, you know, it's better, it's more dynamic than last year, but they haven't played an offense like Pittsburgh yet. So they're going to be tested. And although I think that there's going to be a lot of passing yards, I think there's also going to be an opportunity for some good running yards and to get into the end zone a time or two. And then the other play, I think it's obvious from my comments at the outset, but Charles Sims, they're playing L.A. The game's in Tampa, so L.A. is going to travel West Coast to East Coast. They haven't looked particularly good the first couple weeks, and I think Sims – I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think Sims is going to eventually take that job once Martin comes back. I think, you know, Sims is a second-round pick from a couple years ago. He's a legit talented player, and it's a fun, you know, a fun offense that can get rolling. And just at the price, $6,300, you can't beat it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Just for some reason, there was something about the L.A. pass rush and that game that got really, really ugly to me. And I don't know. That's just kind of why I'm staying away from that game right now. But moving to wide receivers, I'm sorry to do this again to you, Rob, but I am taking Larry Fitzgerald. He's amazing. He's what Carson – he's Eric Decker from the slot destroyed Buffalo last week. Fitzgerald can do the same thing. There's less. He's getting all the targets on that team. I mean, he's still their number one receiver in terms of targets. So I think he has another big game. I think Buffalo's bad. I don't know why you guys are so bad, but you are. So
yeah, no, it's factually correct. We're the Bills are not a good football team. So yeah, they're not a good football team. I've watched both games this year. Their defense is not good. And it's not like the Jets have a dynamic offense. They're playing a dynamic offense this week. So I'm a little concerned. But, you know, it is what it is, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, and then I am going with Sterling Shepard, 6,500 on the Giants. He's going to be the beneficiary of not being Odell Beckham this week. That's where all the attention is being focused on. That's why he is getting 117 yards on 9 catches. He's an incredible receiver, but he's facing one-on-one coverage, and if he plays one-on-one coverage, he's going to win every time. So I don't see the Redskins ignoring Odell Beckham or really changing how they play him any differently, and I think Sterling Shepard's the main beneficiary of that. He's still cheap, and he's going to get at least 7 catches a week. He's just too valuable on third downs. Eli Manning loves him. He catches everything. That was a no-brainer to me this week. And then lastly, a little controversial, I know it's going to be Dez Bryant. That Chicago defense, I think me and you are starting this week on that Chicago defense. I'm not sure. But I think this is the week where Dez Bryant and Dak Prescott hook up for a touchdown or two, and I think Dallas really just runs away with that game. So he's been dropping a little bit. He's usually in the 8,000 range. Now he's 7,900, so he's a little cheaper than usually, so I'm going to take advantage of that and play Dez Bryant. What do you got at receiver? Are you thinking the same? Are you thinking any different?
The one that really jumps out to me is T.Y. Hilton this week. And the reason being, first off, watch your injury reports, because I know that today Andrew Luck did not practice because of a shoulder. So this is obviously a somewhat fluid situation. But Dante Moncrief, the wide receiver opposite him, he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. So I think that T.Y. Hilton's going to get, you know, he's going to get those targets. He's going to get a lot of, you know, like it was a couple years ago where he was getting a good chunk of those targets. They're playing San Diego. They're playing at home in the, you know, I feel like, and I still, maybe I believe too much in Indy. Obviously they haven't played great, but I feel like they should be at least putting up points. I think for $7,400, it's a good bet for T.Y., maybe more so in a tournament play as opposed to a 50-50 cash game. But I just feel like this is the week where he could maybe start making some noise. And the other receiver I love, you know, it's just kind of playing safe and hitting the double is just Julio Jones. They're playing New Orleans. New Orleans loves scoring, but more than that, they love giving up points. And he's the unquestioned number one. Matt Ryan, who also I think is going to have a huge game. I think Julio is going to kill it as well this week. That's probably a stack play that I'm going to play in a lot of leagues this week.
Yeah, I mean, Julio definitely seems great. I think whenever you play Saints against the Saints defense, those receivers are always ones you should take. Discounting last week was an anomaly.
And the third receiver, I was going to mention someone you mentioned already, which was Jarvis Landry, just because I love the price. So I will go with another receiver that I think is going to kind of hit on a theme we played last week, and that's Jordan Matthews for Philly, $6,900. And for me, it's all about targets and garbage time. I think that Philly or Pittsburgh is gonna have a big lead, but they can give up some points. And I think that Philadelphia, when they do kind of go in that garbage time mode, that you're gonna see a receiver, you know, that short passing attack. You're gonna see a lot of targets come Jordan Matthews' way.
Yeah, I mean, he just drops way too many balls. He's extremely frustrating to watch, but that all makes sense. Now let's get to the position that's been giving me the most trouble this year. I think 2 weeks ago I picked Kobe Fleener, where he had one catch for 8 yards. Last week I did a little better picking Gary Barnes, who had two catches for like 13 yards. But this week I'm going to try to give a winner out. I think Dennis Pitta on Baltimore. I think Joe Flacco really likes him. He's getting a bunch of targets. I think it might be a shootout with Jacksonville. I just don't know with tight ends. Rob Gronkowski's out, so I don't know what to do. Well, what are you doing at tight end? Maybe you have a better grasp on this position than I do.
Well, you know, for the tight ends that I like, there's a small play that I like in Atlanta, Jacob Tam, this week. I think that he could, you know, I mean, he's in an offense that's going to have an opportunity to put up a lot of points. And with tight ends, you never know. I mean, so it's a fun play at a cheap cost. The tight end that I like the most, I'm sorry to do it to you, is probably Jordan Reed. I know he's playing your squad, but Jordan Reed's due for a breakout game. He's a very talented tight end. And, you know, the Giants, their defense has improved a lot from last year. They got the, you know, the new safeties over there. But, I mean, even with the new safeties, I think that Jordan Reed should still have ample opportunities to, you know, get something done. And he's kind of, you know, due to have, you know, a pretty decent game.
Yeah, I think he will. I just, on Thursday's pod, if you listen, you'll hear me talk about the Giants defense being a sneaky play. I just think that Kirk Cousins is due for a pick six and these Giants ball hawks will do it. But Jordan Reed still might get his stats. So, yeah, that's a smart play. Who are you going with at defense? I mean, kicker is all a crapshoot anyway. So
yeah, you just take the shortest, the kicker with the cheapest cost who looks like he's going to be in a shootout. At least that's what I do.
Or I like picking a decent offense going against a decent defense where they settle for field goals a lot. I'll look at it more at a team level than the actual kicker.
Defense-wise, I mean, this week I thought was kind of tough, the defense. I think Seattle is probably the best play. So if you have a couple hundred extra dollars, you know, to pony up for it, because their defense is, you know, $300 more than anybody else's. And, you know, they're the highest cost, and there's a reason, you know, but they're at home playing San Francisco. So, you know, that's kind of fun. If you're looking for something smaller, I do tend to try to save a couple bucks with my defense and kicker, and sometimes tight end depending on matchup, so I can play an extra, you know, kind of upper echelon guy at another position. I like the Miami Dolphins against Cleveland. Not that I even really love the Miami Dolphins defense, but I just don't see how Cleveland's going to do anything. They're running with their third string quarterback, who's a rookie who was drafted in the third round, and that was viewed as a reach. His first game is going to be on the road. Not that Miami will give him too much of a home field advantage. There's going to be like 20,000 people in the stands, and 5,000 of them are going to be wearing orange jerseys. But Miami's defense, there's some decent players there, and they should, you know, Cleveland's offensive line is hurt. They should do well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know. I made this list today, and I forgot that you were – I mean, I always knew you were the Bills super fan, but I think the Arizona defense, I just like them at 5,100. I didn't realize as I was picking it what I was doing, but I have a feeling that's going to change. I'm probably just going to allocate my money a little differently, and I can always drop down to those Dolphins. I just had a couple of extra dollars so I threw them.
Oh, yeah. But it's a good defense. I get it. The only thing is, honestly, no one knows what they're going to do on offense. So not that I think they're going to surprise a team that's studded like Arizona, but they haven't – nothing's really come out. They just say they're going to do different stuff. So, yeah, I don't think it matters. I think Arizona's going to whoop on them. But
my biggest worry is Arizona going up like, 5 or 6 touchdowns and then giving up 2 or 3 weak touchdowns and not really hurting the fantasy day. All right, but, you know, those are who I go, and good luck to anybody playing this week. It's been brutal for me these first 2 weeks, so I hope our listeners are doing a little bit better than me.
Yeah, it's been – I mean, we talked about this before we went on air, but the first quarter of the season is always a little tough, a little bit more about surviving, gaining information, and then really kind of weeks 5 to 15 are where you get – your shot to really, you know, injuries happen, you capitalize on those, you pay a little bit more attention than the rest of the people, you find better information than other people do. And, you know, that's where you kind of start seeing your little incremental runs. I mean, I'll be honest, right now, from the bankroll I started with, I'm up $11 and a ticket into a free play, and I'm happy with that. Because right now is all about just kind of grinding it out. I expect that I'll make some money in the middle part of the year, but right now is just about surviving.
Yeah. From your mouth to God's ears, let's hope we survive a few more weeks, and then we can start taking advantage of some more knowledge that we get from this football season. Good luck to you, Rob.
All right, good luck to you.
All right, so there's some daily advice from Sam and Rob, and really their advice is perfect for all fantasy players. You know, the key to fantasy is getting as much information as you possibly can from as many different sources as you possibly can, and then using that information to make your own best judgment. And so a couple people did tweet us, hey, I've told you, you tweet at us, I'm going to read them. You email us, I'm going to read them. Email is nextfanup@gmail.com. And of course, you can reach us on Twitter @NFU Podcast. These folks tweeted directly to me @TheRealPodVader. This one comes from @Primetime_79. Says, hi, Pod. Should I trade Keenan Allen for Sterling Shepard? Keeper League, I keep 3 players. The answer is yes. Keenan Allen hasn't shown the propensity to remain uninjured for very long periods of time. He's fantastic when he's on the field, but that's a big when. Sterling Shepard, up-and-coming rookie. It's a keeper league. Absolutely in a keeper league, I make that deal. @TankFunkadelic tweeted at me, should I trade Whitaker, and I'm assuming it's Fozzie Whitaker, for Moncrief? Again, assuming Dante Moncrief. I also have David Johnson, Freeman, Ivory, Sims, Morris, and J.I. If the Dante Moncrief owner is going to make that trade, then go for it. You've got enough depth at the running back position where you can make that trade. However, if I'm the Moncrief owner, even though he's injured right now, I'm not making that deal. Why do I want a backup running back for my injured wide receiver? If I'm panicking, and you should not be panicking going into week three of the fantasy season, then you make that trade. So like I said to, as I said to Tank, if you can make the trade, make it. But if I'm the Moncrief owner, I'm not making that deal. All right. So there you go. It's Fantasy Friday. You got a little fantasy advice. And you emailed us. Well, you actually tweeted at me. So email us, nextfanup@gmail.com. We'll take your questions. I'll hand them off to Sam and Rob, and they can answer some of your daily questions as well. They usually record on Thursdays. I usually like to produce this show a little bit earlier, but I've been busy. Sorry. So send in your emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. That's a great way to reach Sam and Rob because there's always someone watching our NFU Podcast Twitter feed, and they can always tag the appropriate superfan because we got superfans representing all the teams. There's a few openings right now. Tampa Bay, Dallas is now open. Tennessee is open. There's another one. Detroit is open. So if you're a fan of those teams, you want to join us, you can hear we have a lot of fun here. Yesterday we were talking about Hostess cakes, which are quite delicious, and clearly Twinkies much better than the cupcakes, although I would not turn down either. So give us a listen, share with a friend, download and subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss any of our shows. Next show is coming for you, ready for you first thing Monday morning. It'll be the Sunday recaps. All the games will be recapped by our super fans, Justin, Nick. They'll present a nice show for you, and you can listen to it before you get to work on Monday morning. In the meantime, if you missed any of our shows, I had a great interview on Wednesday with Brandon Jackson of the Oakland Raiders. He's on their practice squad. Also talked to Doug Norrie, speaking of Daily Fantasy. He of DFSR.com. Talked to him a little bit about fantasy football and how I crushed him last week in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. So give all our shows a listen. Subscribe on iTunes or anywhere great podcasts are heard. And until next time, I leave you with a nice phrase. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.